obeys, whether you obey God or whether you obey the laws of nature, you obey. And the analog, therefore, of the world that has been put into our common sense is one of military command. Note that. Because the image of God, I would go further and say the idolatrous image of God.
Yes, but I'm now desiring not to desire. And so the Buddha will answer, well, at last you're beginning to understand the point. Because you can't give up desire, why would you try to do that? It's already desire. So in the same way, you say, you ought to be unselfish, or to give up your ego. Let go, relax. Why do you want to do that? Just because it's another way of beating the game, isn't it? But the moment you see you hypothesize that you are different from the universe, you want to get one up on it. But if you try to get one up on the universe, and you're in competition with it, it means you don't understand you are it. You think there's a real difference between self and other. But self, what you call yourself and what you call other, are mutually necessary to each other, like back and front. They're really one. But just as a magnet... And is blind. You can go to the mountains of the West, the most gorgeous valleys, and see cities put up by people who obviously don't know where they are. Huge billboards, weird and grotesque structures that absolutely are out of any kind of harmony with the environment. Expensive ugliness.
Time, in which things go round and round and round forever. But to go in is to go to eternity. But in the ordinary way, when we're talking about this graphically and vividly, in imagistic terms, we can talk about the everlasting game of hide and seek, which the self plays with itself. It forgets who it is and then creeps up behind itself and says, boo! And that's a great thrill. It pretends that things are getting serious. Just as a great actor on the stage, although the audience know that what they're seeing is only a play, the skill of the actor is to take the audience in and to have them all sitting in anxiety on the edges of their seats, or to be weeping or laughing or utterly involved in what they really know is only a play. So you would imagine that if there were a very great actor with absolutely superb technique, he has no teeth without having valleys between the tips of them. That's the way being is made up.
This concludes Session 11 of Out of Your Mind, essential listening from the Alan Watts Audio Archives. Our program continues with Session 12.
In Buddhism, change is emphasized, first to unsettle people who think that they can achieve permanence by hanging on to life. And it seems that the preacher is wagging his finger at them and saying, you know, like the Scotch preacher one day saying to Sunday congregation, preaching on the text, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And what about the rich food you put into your mouths?
Of the spirit. And therefore, for certain kinds of Greek religion, among which we must name the Orphic mysteries, the Neoplatonic point of view, and the later Gnostic points of view, being saved means being delivered from material existence into a purely spiritual state. From this point of view, sexual involvement is the very archetype of material involvement. Mater, mother,
matter, matter, are really the same word. And so the love of woman is the great snare. This is, incidentally, a doctrine invented by men. But, of course, in the meantime, it is difficult. You go to an exhibition of contemporary non-objective painting, and a kind of square fellow walks in there, and he says, "That's not what I call a picture." Because it's against his prejudices. But I say to people now, excuse me, wait a minute. Take a look at that again. I'm going to tell you something. That painting is a colored photograph of guess what? And he looks at it in astonishment, in entirely new eyes. What could that be a photograph of? And he begins to see it might be a photograph through a microscope of globules, of germs floating in liquid. It might be anything, but there it is. It suddenly comes at him. Goodness knows whether that was what the artist intended, but that's a method of giving people a shock, of seeing things in a new way. Hiding underneath all these forms that you see as you look around you. So far, so good. But the truth is funnier than that. It is that you are looking right at the brilliant light now. That the experience you are having, which you call ordinary everyday consciousness, pretending you're not it, that experience is exactly the same thing as it. There's no difference at all. And when you find that out, you laugh yourself silly. That's the great discovery. In other words, when you really start to see things, and you look at an old paper cup, and you go into the nature of what it is to see, what vision is, or what smell is, or what touch is, you realize that that vision of the paper cup is the brilliant light of the cosmos. Saying in English, it's your own doing. But in popular Indian belief, karma is a sort of built-in moral law or a law of retribution, such that all the bad things you do and all the good things you do have consequences which you have to inherit. And so long as karmic energy remains stored up, you have to work it out. And what the sage endeavors to do is a kind of action which in Sanskrit is called nishkama karma. Nishkama means without passion or without attachment, karma, action. And so whatever action he does, he renounces the fruits of the action so that he acts in a way that doesn't generate future karma, because future karma continues you in the wheel of... If you make a theory of the universe which isn't worth betting on, why bother? Just commit suicide. But if you want to go on playing the game, you've got to have an optimal theory for playing the game. Otherwise, there's no point in it. But the people who coined the fully automatic theory of the universe were playing a very funny game. What they wanted to say was this: all you people who believe in religion are old ladies and wishful thinkers. You've got a big daddy up there and you want a comfort and thing, but life is rough. Life is tough. And success goes to the most hard-headed people. That was a very convenient theory when the European-American world was colonizing the natives everywhere else. He said, we are the end product of evolution, and we're tough, see. I'm a big, strong guy because I face facts, and life is just a bunch of junk, and I'm going to impose my will on it and turn it into something else, you see.
Quickly, from Ahura Mazda, from Persia, the great sun god of the Mazdaeans and the Parsis. But although that may have been what set it all off, it has been greatly transformed by being canalized through Buddhism. Now, you have all seen photographs of the Buddha at Kamakura, the Daibutsu, that enormous bronze figure that sits in a beautiful park with pine trees, the temple having long been demolished by a tidal wave, for which thanks be to God. Because if it hadn't been for the tidal wave, nobody would ever have really seen this figure. But there is at Kamakura this huge...
tennis balls, they're all going together. Crazy! And there are no strings tying them together. Isn't that queer? No, but there's space going with them. And space is a function of, or it's an inseparable aspect of, whatever solids are in the space. That is the clue, probably, to what we mean by gravity. We don't know yet. So in the same way, when those marvelous sandpipers come around here, the little ones, while they're in the air flying, they have one mind. They move all together. When they alight on the mud, they become individuals and they go picking around for worms or something. But one click of the fingers and all those things are going zip into the air. They don't seem to have a leader. Because they don't follow when they turn, they all turn together and go off in another direction. Amazing. But they're like the molecules in my hand.
And the thing has gone rather further down the runway than you think it should have without getting up in the air. You start pulling at your seatbelt. Get this thing off the ground. Perfectly useless. So in the same way, when our community tells us, look carefully, now listen, pay attention. We start using muscular strains around our eyes, ears, jaws, hands, to try to use our muscles to make our nerves work, which is, of course, futile. And in fact, it gets in the way of the functioning of the nerves. Try to concentrate. And then when we try to control our emotions, we hold our breath, pull our stomachs in, or tighten our rectal muscles to hold ourselves together. Now pull yourself together!
Such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep. What's going on here? From one point of view, you see, the poet seems to be putting everything down and to say, it's all an illusion, it's all a vision, and there's nothing. And yet at the same time, he borrows from this vision. He borrows the beautiful imagery of cloud-capped towers and gorgeous palaces and solemn temples. And from the illusion it plays.
Work is something serious, you know, that you do for a purpose because you believe that you've got to go on living. You work to survive, because you think you have to survive. That was one of the things they told you as a little child. You've got to go on, man. But you don't have to. This thing doesn't have to go on. That's why it does. I know that sounds paradoxical, but there's so many things in life that are like that. If I'm trying to impress people, I usually don't. If you try too hard with anything, you usually make a mess of it. And so, this basic thing then is that the self, the Brahman behind the world, is engaged in play. This, it is in this sense that the Hindu philosophers say,
only hears noises. He doesn't hear the steps. So that interval between whatever happens is as important as what happens. So we'll call these two things, the sound and the silence, the life and the death,
somewhat analogous in weaving to the warp and the woof. Now, look at the marvelous way in which warp and woof go together. A piece of cloth is an extraordinary thing when you consider it's made of a line of string. There's something that always struck me as a child, fabulous, that string, just thread, could turn into cloth. Why should it hang together? How improbable. My mother was a very great artist in embroidery. To be the foundation of the world. And of course, this is the great function of the feminine. To be the substance. And therefore, the feminine is represented by space, which is, of course, black at night. But were it not for black and empty space, there would be no possibility whatsoever of seeing the stars. Stars shine out of space, and astronomers, very high-powered astronomers, are beginning to realize that stars are a function of space. Now, that's difficult for our common sense, because we think that space is simply inert nothingness. But we don't realize that space is completely basic to everything.
Oh, death is what lies behind the eyes. In other words, it is what we can't think about that's what's watching. In other words, the farthest we can go in thinking about nothing, you see, we get to the root of the matter. Let me put this in another way. The world is form. Now, you cannot look for the origin of form in form. Because what you would get then would be a universe where you couldn't make out any form at all because there was so much of it. It would be like writing a letter on top of a newspaper and then putting a picture over that and then doing something else until there wasn't a single square millimeter of
form. For the cosmos won't do. Now, actually, no serious theologian ever did believe that God was an old gentleman with whiskers on a golden throne. Never. What the Bishop of Woolwich says in his book, Honest to God, you know, that there isn't some sort of a someone out there, he is very naive in a way, because he could have taken huge quotations out of St. Thomas Aquinas, out of the great fathers of the church, from Origen, from Clement of Alexandria, from St. Gregory Nazianzus, from St. John of Damascus, from St. Basil the Great, from St. Augustine, from St. Ambrose, from Bernard of Clairvaux, St. Albert the Great. He could have quoted all those perfectly orthodox, very correct theologians, and shown that they never believed in a God like that with whiskers. And he could have come forward and said, you see, this is a perfectly orthodox book, and I'm not a revolutionary, I'm just going back to the real old-time religion. He didn't do that.
Particular weekend seminars devoted to Buddhism, and it should be said first that there is a sense in which Buddhism is Hinduism stripped for export. Last week when I discussed Hinduism, I discussed many things to do with the organization of Hindu society, because Hinduism is not merely what we call a religion, it's a whole culture. It's a legal system, it's a social system, it's a system of etiquette, and it includes everything. It includes housing, it includes food, it includes art, because the Hindus and many other ancient peoples do not make, as we do, a division between religion and everything else. Religion is not a department of life. It is something that enters into the whole of it. But you see, when a religion and a culture are inseparable, It's very difficult to export a culture.
Mahayana. Maha is Sanskrit word for great, M-A-H-A. Yana means a vehicle or conveyance. And there is Hinayana, means the little vehicle, Hina in Sanskrit. H-I-N-A means little. Only that's a term invented by the Mahayanists for the other people, and the other people don't like it. They like to call themselves Theravada, T-H-E-R-A, V-A-D-A, which means Vada, the way, Thera, of the elders. Now, Theravada Buddhism you will find in Ceylon, Burma, Thailand, Cambodia, and generally South Asia. Mahayana you find in, it originated in Nepal, northern India, and you find it in Tibet, China, Mongolia, Japan, and to some extent in Indonesia.
Being asked to be absolutely genuine. So if I said to you, now don't be self-conscious. I want you to be perfectly sincere. And as a matter of fact, I'm a mind reader. And I know whether you're being sincere or not. I can see right down to that last little wiggly guzzle in the back of your mind. And if you think I can, you see, I'm putting you in a double bind. I'm commanding you to be genuine. How can you possibly do that on command? Especially when the person you're confronted with is a father figure, an authority figure. And in Japan, the sensei, the teacher, is even a more authoritative figure than one's father, which is saying a lot. But you are being asked in the presence of this tiger to be committed.
So, but that's the meaning of something that happens of itself, like drop fart or have hiccups or just you came into being, you know? It happens in a kind of a plop way like that. See? Now, you can't tell that process, you ought to happen. You must happen. Because that puts a bind on it. In the same way as when you have a little child and all the relatives have come to a party on Thanksgiving, and you put the child into the middle of all the relatives and say, now, dear, play. See, it absolutely bugs the child to do it like that. And so this is the problem for every artist. Because an artist is a man who makes his living by playing, whether he's dancing or painting or playing music or whatever it is. And he has to overcome this problem. He has to know how to play in public at a given time on an appointment.
It's simply a sort of specialized form of awareness. When you look around the room, you are conscious of as much as you can notice. And you see an enormous number of things which you don't notice. If, for example, I look at a girl here and somebody asks me later, what was she wearing? I may not know, although I've seen, because I didn't attend. But I was aware, you see. And perhaps if I could, under hypnosis, be asked this question, where I would get my conscious attention out of the way through being in the hypnotic state, I could recall what dress she was wearing. So then, just in the same way as you don't focus your attention on how you make your thyroid gland function, so in the same way you don't have any attention focused on
the things hold together by over, under, under, over, over, under, under, over, over, under, under, over.